One, two, three, four.
Jake and Jonathan. Jake and Jonathan. Jake and Jonathan.
Jake and Jonathan. Merry Christmas, everybody. Very Christmas. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, a happy holiday.
Happy holidays. Happy any kind of holiday to you. Maybe Jason can add some kind of holiday bells, you know, in the background.
Just right there. Maybe not for the entire episode, but just that. Just really deafening. Dong, dong. The entire episode.
Bong, 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 bong.
Bong. Bong. Jake, dude, it's been a fucking crazy year. It's over.
It's over. I'm ready for it. I would say 2019, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. That's my that's my take.
I have the same feeling. Yeah, it was a bit of a toughie.
Yeah.
An old toughie, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to 2020, which is the most futuristic sounding year that I have lived in yet. So I'm excited about it.
2020 sounds super Blade Runner-ish, doesn't it?
Super.
Yeah.
Super, super.
I love it.
Does Blade Runner, the first Blade Runner, take place in 2020 or 2019?
Oh, I actually don't know. I never saw the original Blade Runner. I saw the new Blade Runner and I liked it a lot, but I didn't see the original one.
Original one's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it just looks like the pacing is a bit slower, for sure.
Yeah, I had the feeling it might be a bit boring. So Jake, it's the 23rd of December, everybody. Hello, everybody. If you're listening to this on the first day, like you should listen to it on the first day. If you're a real fan, then it's the 23rd of December. I'm hungover. I'm quite hungover. So,
do you mean you will be on the 23rd of December?
No, I'm hungover now.
Today? Okay, okay.
I am hungover right now. I'm hungover. Okay, and I got to fly. I got to leave here in 45 minutes. And I'm flying. I have a very funny schedule. I'm flying to Ireland today to do a two-day design sprint bootcamp tomorrow and the next day. Then I'm coming back to Germany to close the office in Berlin. Then I'm going down to Thuringen, which is like 600 kilometers away, to my wife's parents' house. And then a few days later, I'm going back to Ireland for Christmas.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's silly.
So do you often do a workshop, do work stuff in Ireland? No, this sounds pretty special.
I was just doing it as a favor to the sprint team so they could have a week off early. So most of the people in the sprint team did just a ton of projects this year. And yeah, I just said, fuck it. I'll jump in and I'll take this one off your hands. but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. So it's the next 2 days. It's me, Dave. He's a new guy at AJ and Smart, and Steve. Such general boys' names, right?
Yeah.
Dave and Steve.
I don't know. I kind of am skeptical that these are real
John,
people.
John, Dave, and Steve. So generic. Like, seriously. So yeah, I'm heading to Ireland today. You keep turning the camera.
I know.
It's
sorry. It's hard to
leave
hold
that.
The phone. I'm on the phone this time. usually I'm on my computer, but I'm in Portland, Oregon right now.
Oh, nice. Were you doing a workshop?
Yeah. With a company. I don't know if I'm supposed to say.
Say it.
Who it is.
We can bleep it out. You can tell me anyway.
Yeah. Jason can bleep it out. It's with
Yeah,
that was a good one. It was pretty fun. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool company. I went
beep,
beep, beep, while I was there. I noticed there was just a lot of that brand in that town.
Yeah. Yeah. People seem to be, for whatever reason, into it here.
Yeah. That's cool.
You know what I noticed is about Portland? I've started to notice in Seattle, where I live now, that the signs people have on their businesses, you know, just you have the name of your business on the sign outside.
Yeah.
I noticed that the quality of design on those signs is poor in Seattle as a general rule. I just
like for like cafes and stuff, you mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like there's some good ones. I'm not saying there's not some good ones, but in general, I look around and I'm just like, ugh. And in Portland, however, they're very good at that.
Portland just looks beautiful.
I think that's interesting because the two cities are very close to each other. You know,
it doesn't sound like you think it's interesting.
No, it makes it makes me angry. It makes me angry because I don't live in the city that has the good-looking signs. I live in the city that has the bad-looking signs. And I was like, come on. Like, how hard is it to make your signs look good. You know?
Could
you
just signs. Find,
and I don't know how they're able to do it so much better here. Is it because they care more, or is it because they're just, are there some sign makers? Is that a big thing here? It's like, it feels like it's something that from the Middle Ages.
Weird.
That, you know, like sign makers? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Who does that? Who makes the sign when you make a business?
Sometimes what happens is in certain cities, there is an aesthetic that needs to be stuck to. And I know that in Portland, they have this colonial kind of style that sort of needs to be adhered to, you know what I mean, kind of.
Oh, like it has to be, do you mean like it has to be painted?
It's yeah,
very, like,
no,
very, like, yeah,
yeah, that's okay. what I mean. That's what I mean. So like, for example, in Greece, on a lot of the islands, you have to stick to a specific type of font and color scheme for your buildings and stuff like that. And like in Santorini.
Yeah.
And maybe they just have that room. Rule. Sorry, rule, not room. Dude, I'm hungover. I feel like this is the worst start. Merry Christmas!
So sure, maybe we should start over. It's tough because you're hungover and it's 6 a.m. for me, which is early.
Let's start over.
Okay,
we keep all of it in.
Hey,
everybody, and welcome to Jake and Jonathan, the final episode of 2019. After this episode, we'll be taking about a 2-week break so you can chill and relax and don't have to keep up with Jake and Jonathan.
This is the final episode of the year.
Such a load off your mind. I'm hungover today because I had a great dinner last night with Laura, Sarah, and Kyle. We finished our, very exciting, Jake, we finished our budget for the year.
Yeah.
And we had actually a very good financial year.
Oh, good.
Yeah, very good financial
year.
Well done.
Congratulations. That's great.
It's always growing every year, but this year was the first time we really kind of managed to nail it. But it was also a fucking tough year. We had a massive overhaul of the agency side of the business, and t'wasn't easy, but yesterday... So here's what happened, right? We went to a restaurant. We were drinking
a lot. Okay, good picture.
We were drinking a lot. Kyle just walked into the room. He can nod and approve.
He can vouch for you.
He can vouch. So we went to an Italian restaurant. We started with cocktails before the food came. Now, keep in mind, this is Germany. So you still, even though the service is like a good service place, and I chose it for the good service, we still had to beg to get served every time. So we were drinking cocktails, very strong cocktails, quite a long time before any food was even talked about. So we're already pretty drunk before the food came. Anyway, we were eating, we're munching on, we were constantly drinking. We got through about 4 bottles of wine between the 4 of us very, very quickly because it was delicious. Having scallops and loads of really delicious food. Anyway, here's the thing, right? Then I went to the bathroom, I came back. Sarah and Laura and Kyle gave me a gift of whiskey, Yamazaki whiskey, really great whiskey from Japan. And I was like, thank you so much, guys. I wonder if they'll let us open the bottle and start drinking it. Waitress was up for it. Gave the waitress some whiskey as well. And we started drinking. We drank half of the bottle of whiskey.
Wow.
So, and I only saw that this morning because I cycled home with the whiskey in the back of my bike. And we drank half of that pretty expensive whiskey while already extremely drunk. And then this morning at like 7 a.m., I had to go to the kindergarten because we're signing the baby up for kindergarten. And I was still extremely drunk. I just want you all to know this.
I have to say, I don't know what to say about the drinking story.
That's okay.
It's good.
Pat me on the head.
Clearly you drank
well
a lot.
Well done. Yeah, well done, Jonathan. That's all I want.
But I
want
to key in on the kindergarten thing. What does kindergarten mean there? What age is it?
I think it's 0 till 6.
Okay. Okay. That would explain why you're signing up now. Okay. It just means here it's like age 4, 5, 6.
We call it kindergarten. So, and yeah, basically it's very difficult to get a kindergarten Platz. A place in Germany, in Berlin. It's almost impossible.
I think you should start saying Platz instead of place in English.
Es war sehr kompliziert, ein Platz zu finden. I have to talk in that angry voice when I speak German.
That's the first step. There's the first step of the German class. They're like, okay, we're going to start off by speaking English angrily. And then...
Should I read out a couple of... I've been building up emails from people writing into the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never really read them out.
Yeah, you should.
All right. I haven't read these before, so if they're bad, I'm sorry. This is from Christian. Does he put a second name? Christian Schroeder. Do I know Christian Schroeder? I don't know. Anyway, hey, guys. Thanks a bunch. I can't even read. Thanks a butt. Thanks a bunch. Thanks a bunch. Thanks for a bunch of great content. Can you help me and my friend decide whether design is problem solving or not? I argue it's way too narrow a definition since design is not about finding the solution, but maybe finding many solutions to many problems. Therefore, it being way more than problem solving. And I also argue that oftentimes you don't want to solve a problem. I'm way too hungover to read this. You want to solve a problem. You just do something better. I've completely lost it. How about, look, how would you define design? I didn't know.
Okay.
Thank you, Christian, for writing
Thank you for writing in, Christian. Thank you. I'm so sorry that Jonathan is such a drunkard and that he can't respectfully read your question. And I don't have the email, so I can't step in.
I already deleted it, so you're gonna have to
but I can answer a question about what does design mean? Well, I don't think it's anything more, design is anything more than just like coming up with a plan. We got to come up with a plan for what we're going to do.
Yeah.
What's the plan, man? Yeah. I think that's what design is. It's coming up with a plan, you know?
Yeah.
And that's actually, that's a helpful way to think about it. Like, we got to do something. Okay. Hey, we got a problem. We got to do something, man. We need to design it.
People should not look up to us. You know what I mean?
Hopefully people don't. Fuck. I think they're just people who listen to this. It's just for the noise.
Great
it's
answer.
Just for the ear noise.
Jake. Coming up with a plan. All right. So next message here is from Jay Alton. Jay Alton says, "Hi, Jonathan and team. I strongly believe that Figma is the greatest product of the year. It's changed my workflow
drastically." Wait a second. By the way, in this email, I'm just "and team."
Yeah.
It's okay.
"Dear Jonathan and team." This is from Jesse Alton. "I strongly believe that Figma is the greatest product of the year. It's changed my workflow drastically and really opens doors to collaboration, iteration, and functional UX. I use Figma every day and couldn't imagine a world without it." Oh, there's no question. Well, thank you, Jay Alton. We agree.
Jay, you should, first of all, my name is not Anteam. I'm a human.
It is Anteam.
Second of all, you should forward this email to the Figma team. There's probably like contact@figma.com or hello. They would love to hear that. Also, I mean, I thought it was nice, but you should also forward it to them.
James writes, "Hi, what I'm understanding is that you guys are doing concepts and ideas as well as being workshop participants." Oh, this is the question of, do we facilitate and also take part in the sprint? So that's what James is wondering.
Okay.
What's it for you, Jake?
Yeah, I usually do participate. Yeah, I think, I don't know that my participation, like when I sketch, my sketches...
They don't win?
A lot of times they don't win. Yeah. And I can be a bit of a sore loser too, which is unfortunate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
What's the most inappropriate thing you've ever said when the decider didn't choose your concept, or you ever did? Spiteful thing you've ever did? What, like, what's something bad that you've done? Took a shit in their bag.
Well, I don't think that was the worst thing I did. I mean,
that's actually when they do select your concept. And you're like, "You'll find a present. I've left you a gift." And it's like, "No, that's your bag." "Oh, shit. We have the same bag." No, you don't. That's you have a very different bag to me.
What's the next question?
Okay, so...
Oh, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
I also take part.
Okay, cool.
Okay, here's a good one. Christian. And this is another Christian. Did we have a Christian? Hey, guys. Okay, the start of this is very good.
Okay.
The start of this starts off super strong.
Okay.
Hey, guys, obviously Jonathan is a great CEO. I'm just going to let that hang in the air. Best CEO of 2019 goes to... Okay, but have you ever talked about how having a good idea maybe doesn't always qualify you for being the CEO? I've met some CEOs in tech who really doesn't have the knowledge or tools to fulfill the company's full potential. Do you have any thoughts on this? Thanks for the great podcast, Christian! No, he said, "Thanks for the great podcast," and then he wrote Christian.
So
you have to answer this one.
I would say, yeah, there's some CEOs who have deficiencies of various kinds. But I think that the bigger problem people have, this is definitely true of me too, working in companies when I was an employee of companies, is like a lack of sort of understanding of the CEO's role, what they need to do, what they're good at, how I fit in, and how if you're the employee of a company, you have agreed to this sort of situation where, like, you're trying to help the CEO get their thing done. And that's what you signed up for. Sometimes as designers or whoever, I think people want to have more influence on what gets created. They want to have more influence over, like, the decisions that are made. There was a great tweet storm by this guy, Scott Birkin, about a similar topic, like designers wanting more influence on decisions. Maybe I can find the tweet and put it in. His point was basically like, designers should have, so it's at Birkin. I want to give him credit, B-E-R-K-U-N, but I don't know the link. His point was designers sometimes like just like lack empathy, although empathy is like the big thing that people talk about, you know, and then design, like you should
storytelling,
but like they don't apply their craft of like understanding the user and like understanding what they need to the people they work with, including like their bosses.
Yeah.
And I think it was just like, I was like, yes, this is gold. And it actually, in fact, you know, it's a great thread. And the way to find it is I retweeted it. So if you look at, I'm at Jake K. If you look at my history, you'll find this tweet storm retweeted. And God, it was so good. It was so good. So sure. Are they imperfect? Yes. Might your boss be actually like really bad? Totally. They're definitely bad bosses and you maybe should take a hike from there. But sometimes we don't actually appreciate what they need. And I think designers have a tendency to fight sometimes too much. So be open to the idea that, you know, that like, A, like you're kind of going to have to like get with some kind of program or figure out how to work with that person or like show them a different path rather than like arguing and convincing them, which doesn't tend to work.
Yeah. I definitely have to agree with you on that. I mean, for me as CEO and as an ex, you know, designer, I mean, I'm still a designer, but I'm mainly the CEO now. I have to say that it is very common that designers kind of take this role of being the almost like just the objector to everything that's going on. Like everything sucks and no one knows what they're doing. And I think it's also going to hold you back career-wise because no CEO or manager wants to put someone like that ahead. And no CEO or manager wants to help people like that. So you'll just be held back by the CEO who doesn't really like you. But the best thing you can do is really just figure out how to help your bosses. Honestly, that's the best thing you can do for your career because people want to help people who seem to be helping them. But what I was going to say is that Marina was trying to video call me and I was just going to accept it and put it on the podcast.
Yeah, you should.
She's super shy, but I'll...
Can you get the audio? Will you be able
to... Yeah, I'll just put it right up against the...
Okay.
Well, we'll see. Let's have a look. Let's see. She's probably not going to answer because she knows that I'm on the podcast now. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, that looks really nice. Marina, I'm sorry, but you're on the podcast now.
What did you say?
I said you're on the podcast. Because we don't edit it. Your hair looks really nice. I'll show it to Jake. Look at Marina's haircut.
Oh, it's excellent. It's really nice. Oh, yeah.
He says it's excellent.
Yeah.
Thumbs up from Jake.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it's nice, Marina. Are you happy with it?
I have so many kids here. I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
I said, are you happy with the haircut?
I'm very happy with it, actually. Everybody's saying that I look like my mother. That's what you don't want to hear. But I like it.
You don't look like... It's different because your mom has like a more of a... fringe.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Good.
Yeah,
look
she
good.
Looks great. Pass it on.
Have a nice podcast and I talk to you when you're in Ireland, I guess.
Yeah, bye.
Bye Marina.
Yeah, it's a nice haircut. My wife just got a haircut.
It was a good haircut, you guys. I don't have enough haircut vocabulary to describe it. Do you know what...
It's a buzz cut. Yeah, she got a buzz cut. That's what she... So yeah, dude, listen.
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing you learned this year?
The biggest thing I learned this year is that I, despite all of my talk about focus and using time well, that matters can be like kind of out of your hands, you know? If you're in a situation, okay, here's what I learned. If you're in a situation in your life where you are able to focus on something, to do work, to do creative work, to make something, that is precious, and you cannot guarantee that you'll always be in that state. So it is all the more important that you choose wisely what you spend your energy on, and that when you are in a space, a time when you can do it, that you do it. This year has been a year where I couldn't. We've had a lot of randomizing factors going on. Family illness, moving, puppy, which is self-inflicted.
Puppy.
But, you know, all this stuff, like, I'm like, wow, this is not a year when I could make progress on writing a book. The things that I often like, you know, like really for me, it's like, okay, these creative projects give me a ton of joy. They give me a ton of satisfaction. And I've always sort of felt like it was really down to me to make it happen. And maybe to a certain extent, that's still true. But I just have a lot more realization that I've just been really lucky in times past to have been in a place in my life where I could do it. And you don't know when that's going to, like when something's going to happen, change with your health or whatever, and it's going to go away. And so you should, yeah, when those times come back, I need to be ready to pounce on it. And I also need to appreciate that those times are fleeting. I think there's probably more lessons, but that's definitely one. What have you learned? And I'll try to think if there's any more.
Obviously, I asked you this question and didn't have an answer for myself. So I'll also kind of
ramble.
I think this year was the biggest learnings year of all time for me. Probably if you listen back to the podcast, I had loads of moments of kind of really being not motivated, if you remember, especially around August, where I was just like, I'm bored. I just kept saying I'm bored the whole time. And I think what's good for me to know, well, I think the lesson I learned is that I need to be patient, more patient, and more like forgiving of myself when I'm not really, you know, like the feeling of being lost where you don't really know what you're doing. You don't know if you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I think if you just don't, the problem actually is that then you add 10 times more stress to it just by overthinking it. So for me, I think, you know, next summer or, you know, next year, if I start feeling lost and like, you know, I'm not enjoying running the company or whatever, I think I'm just going to be more calm about waiting it out to see if it changes. Because, yeah, I mean, it was a really, really difficult year running AJ and Smart. You know, everything's come together now. It's almost like a movie. You know, it was like really disastrous in the middle. And now I'm kind of coming out of it. And now I'm out of it. And now the, you know, the hero's journey or something. I'm coming back with a lot of learnings. And now I can, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, I think I'm going to be more calm about feeling shitty and not feel like that's like the worst thing of all time.
Yeah.
Next year when it happens.
Not also pile on stress on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like let it happen. Just be like, oh, now I feel like shit. And I'm just going to allow it to happen. I mean, I learned about that by reading books. I didn't learn about it myself. But yeah, I think that's like one of the big things. And the other thing is, and I learn it every year, but it's almost like, I mentioned it before because I think it's my favorite saying. It's the easy conversations, hard life, hard conversations, easy life. And this year I really put it into play, but I also got to see what happens if I really don't have the hard conversations.
Yeah.
And it backfired on me horribly. So yeah, this year I kind of learned having the hard conversations does make your life much better, even if in the moment it's a fucking horror story.
How much of the hard conversations, what percentage of those for you happen at work?
80%.
About work stuff, 80%. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the hard conversations at home this year were all related to the baby.
Yeah.
And all related to the new life with a baby.
Yeah.
My wife's super used to me being quite candid, I would say, like quite straight up. I mean, anyone listening to the podcast will know that I wasn't just like, oh my God, I love this. This is a great emotion. I'm like, fuck this shit. It's getting better now. But now the baby, she's been sick for 5 weeks nonstop.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So like, remember, start of your year, this year was your kids were sick the whole time.
Yeah.
Mariana has been sick the whole time and keeps giving us different diseases. Whatever. Anyway,
oh,
learning. Mostly work.
It's tiring in winter too.
Yeah. This year was definitely the year where I had to have very difficult, like it almost like was a new level that I unlocked, was this ability to openly talk to people about very tough things, which I definitely have not done ever before. And 2019 was the first time. Felt like an unlock in a video game.
What you said, that there were some books that helped you with reframing what was going on with you.
Yeah, I think The Obstacle is the Way is a really, really good. I mean, Ego is the Enemy. The Obstacle is the Way. Awareness by Anthony DeMello, like I mentioned last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Or last episode. But mostly it was like the build up of years and years and years of reading and trying to make sense of it. But actually the thing that probably made it make the most sense was the pressure. The pressure just built up. Like there was a massive build up of pressure this summer at AJ and Smart because I took over the company in January, and then I started implementing my plans and strategies, and obviously a lot of them were universally unpopular, but I felt like they were the right things to do. And then shit just exploded around September. And it's so nice right now, though, I have to say. It's like,
yeah,
I've never enjoyed the company more now than I ever did. Like, it's the most enjoyable version of the company I've ever had, which is right now. Whereas 2 months ago, I would have been like, well, before the calls or before the podcast or after the podcast, I was always like, oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I don't know if that's a lesson. It's like a 3-hour long statement.
Well, no, that's it was a lesson. It's about the tough conversations. The tough conversations. Yeah.
Tough, yeah. Exactly. So have those. If you.
So that yeah. comes. So the tough conversations, though, that thing comes more from the obstacle is the way and the awareness. I was expecting you to say radical.
I mean, candor. Radical candor triggered it for me about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
I didn't have the courage to put it in action.
Okay. Okay.
There was a lot of, like, for example, like, in the book, there's a thing called the Peter Principle. The Peter Principle is a really common thing that happens in companies of all sizes. And you know, anyone listening right now who's running a company or works at a company, so you probably, you're falling into those the bracket here, you'll know about this thing called the Peter Principle once I explain it. And the idea behind the Peter Principle is that often people get promoted past their level of competency. So let's say you joined AJ and Smart, and you didn't feel like your manager was able to really do the job, then you would get frustrated and start working worse than you would normally. AJ and Smart just became the Peter Principle. Like generally it became that. And I knew that already a year and a half ago when I made the decision to take over the company. But I was like hoping it would just solve itself. I think that's the thing. No, okay, I've got a new learning for you. It's better to take things into your own hands than expect them to solve themselves.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
Yay.
Yeah. So was there a moment that triggered you feeling like you, when you went from waiting to acting?
Yeah, it was in May. I'm always interested to go back and listen to the podcast around the time where stuff started getting stressful. So back in May, I was super frustrated about the business, super frustrated. I just knew it wasn't the right makeup, the right team. I knew we weren't going in the right direction. And I felt like I almost felt like I wasn't going to be able to solve it because it was such a drastic thing that I would need to do in terms of team change. And so I brought in Sarah and her husband, Steve, actually. She's now the MD of AJ and Smart.
Yeah.
And she just had so much more experience than me, like so much more experience than me, that she was able to come in really quickly. And without me even saying it, she was able to say, oh yeah, no, here's the problem. Like, this is not going to work. Like, these people are in the wrong roles. This doesn't really make any sense. And this and this and this and this. And she kind of just said, like, this is what you need to do. And kind of gave
me. So then things, sorry.
Oh, well, no, that's, and I actually resisted. That was the problem. So I was like, no, we'll just see how it goes. And maybe we can change the roles. And maybe we can do this. And maybe this person could do this job instead. And Sarah was like, yeah, well, you're going to regret it, but okay then. She wasn't going to override me. And then within like 4 months, so basically in May, I kind of decided to turn the heat up in the company in terms of what I was expecting from people. And that was done in a very, like in January, I said, like, you know, here's the difference between the company being just me and versus what it was before, which was myself and my co-founder. It's going to be more, you know, I'm going to be more strict about performance and et cetera. I would say that in May, that got kind of switched on more literally, as in like started becoming a bit more serious about people's performance, giving more feedback. And honestly, that just triggered it. That just clicked into place. The people who really didn't like getting feedback immediately hated it. And it became clear. It just became clear what was going to work and what wasn't going to work. And it just also, to be honest, in May, I was at the point where I was even saying to Sarah, I was like, I don't know if I really want to run the agency side of this business anymore. Like, I don't know if it's even yeah. worth the mental stress of it. But she was like, no, that's really dumb. It's a multi-million euro business. You should run it. Or you should at least give it a chance. And yeah, so I'm very happy that I gave it a chance. But yeah, it was fucking stressful. So between May and October, you would have seen a lot of people leaving AJ and Smart, who are all going to be super successful, by the way. I don't doubt it at all. It just wasn't the right fit for us. But that on the inside causes a lot of instability. with the people who are staying and a lot of stress because they're all like, what the fuck is happening? And that was, you know, we're at a very good point right now and everyone's feeling good, but there is definitely a very bad vibe in the agency side. Very bad.
Well,
but it's positive now. It ended so positive. It's like fucking jingle bells.
First of all, it'd be cool if Jason played a little jingle bell snippet right there. Just to kind of keep the holiday theme going. That was here, because this has been a very holiday themed, very holiday themed episode. I want to give a Gandalf update.
We're going to have to give this on.
Even
the
though,
update, man, give it.
Yeah. So we're reading The Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. We got to the point where they made it to Rivendell. Okay. Mm. They made it very difficult to get to Rivendell, as it turns out. They got there. They're trying to... Rivendell, if you're not a fan of The Lord of the Rings, people listening don't know, Rivendell's where Elrond lives. It's like a dope...
Elrond Hubbard.
Elrond Hubbard. I never thought about that. Sounds very similar. I wonder which one came first. Anyway, Rivendell, where the elves live, or where some of the elves live, is a dope, like, resort, basically, for hobbits. It's just, you know, hobbits go there, they just... occasionally, not very often, but they love it. That's basically what I can gather. And other people like to go there too.
I love me some Rivendell.
So a lot of people are there. Yeah, a lot of people are at Rivendell. You know, Boromir, some dwarves. They're just
hanging.
Anyway, they want to talk. They want to get Elrond's two cents on the matter of Sauron. Anyway, so they're at Rivendell. To get there, they had to like run away from the Black Riders, who are the Ringwraiths. Okay, these are the guys who, like a million years ago, Sauron, who's the bad guy, gave him these magic rings, turned him into ghosts. Now they just do his bidding. It's harsh. You don't want to mess with Sauron. Now they just chase after... You know, for how tough the Ringwraiths are supposed to be, their pursuit of the hobbits is kind of pathetic.
Yeah, they don't...
I have to feel like the hobbits would not be that hard to catch if you were like just like a badass spectral... monster. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's, yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So they do manage to stab him. They manage to stab Frodo, but like if you just like wave fire at him, they run away, which is kind of like,
they run away. Like they get off the horse and run away.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but apparently if you have fire, like they'll be afraid. Anyway, but somehow they don't have fire at one point. They stab Frodo. Then they got to run across the river. Oh, they're with Aragorn, Strider. Point is, Gandalf finally comes back. He's been gone for a long time. We don't know yet why he's been gone. I'm at the point before he reveals what was going on with him. But the way that they finally get away from the Black Riders is when they cross this river going into Rivendell. Mm. The river just like, when the Black Riders come into the river, this huge flood comes down and washes away the Black Riders.
Cool.
So then when Frodo wakes up, because a lot of times in The Lord of the Rings, the main character just like blacks out.
Yeah.
And then it has to be explained to them later what happened, which is a funny plot, little plot device.
Yeah, it's like, I can't figure out how to get him up from over here to over here. I guess he blacks out then.
Yeah. And he always says, and he knew no more. And then he's like, oh, he blacked out again.
Yeah. But, in the middle of nothing. Like.
But so Gandalf is like talking to him like at his bedside as he wakes up and he's like, yeah, do you know that flood? That was Elrond's magic that made the flood go. And you're like, and you know, as the reader, you're like, oh man, like I bet Gandalf's about to tell us about some magic he did.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he's like, oh, he's like, you know, perhaps you noticed that what I added my own special touch to that flood.
Oh, which shit.
I don't know how he did it because he was gone, but And you're like, what's it going to be? And he's like, did you notice that the water looked like horses and riders? and it's like, that's it. So
and Frodo's like, dude, sorry, I didn't know. Did you notice, though, that the water sounded like, yeah?
So I'm just imagining Elrond and Gandalf like working on this together.
Yeah.
And Elrond's like, okay.
Dude, all the heavy lifting.
If the Black Riders come into my river,
yeah,
check this out. I think I can. I'm going to do a magic flood.
Yeah.
So he starts like casting the spell or whatever. And Gandalf's like, wait. How can I get in on this action? And Elrond's like, well, dude, I kind of got it covered with the flood. So, because he knows Gandalf's kind of not that great at magic. And he's like, Gandalf, just take it easy. I got it covered, man. I'm going to set the flood up. Gandalf's like, no, wait. Just let me do something. What if it looks like horses when it comes down?
Yes, Gandalf. That would be amazing.
Like, yeah, Elrond's like, okay, sure. You want to add your little... Okay, cool.
Look, I have nothing against the horses. Just make sure it doesn't interrupt the flood, and I think the should be fine.
Remember the flood? The flood part's really important because we need to make sure the Black Riders don't come into our dope resort town.
Yeah, and then So
Gandalf, you're sure that your horses you added, the little special effect, isn't going to... Gandalf's like, yeah. No, it's good.
All right, so, Jake, that is such a... Jason, yeah, I got to go to the airport. Jason, could you put Lord of the Rings music in the background of that amazing story?
That'd be good, yeah.
That is the last Gandalf update of 2019.
Yeah.
Jake, it's been a pleasure podcasting with you the full year.
It has been a pleasure,
it's definitely
sir.
Definitely given me some sanity through the wild ups and downs.
Same here. Good Lord, what is 2020 going to be like? It'll be interesting to see what it's like.
Yeah. Look, as long as we're alive. Oh, that was disgusting.
That's right.
Did you hear that? It was disgusting.
Yeah. It was right in my ear.
I know. It was right in thousands of people's ears. All right, I gotta jump in an Uber and head to dirty ass Schönefeld Airport, which is barely holding itself together.
I've never been to that one, actually.
Oh, it's dirty.
Okay.
So everybody, thank you all so much for supporting this podcast and for your reviews. We would not do this if you weren't listening, obviously.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Merry holidays.
Merry holidays, everyone.
All right.
Should we sing Jake and Jonathan, but like kind of like Jingle Bells?
Yeah.
Thanks everybody. Have a great holiday.
Have a great end of December. Woo!
Oh, blah 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 blah. Bye everybody.
Bye.